Okay, we're on Mem Amid Beis. In the Hebrew English is 40b2 or 80, whatever. Okay, we're going to start the first of the wide lines at the bottom of the page. Okay, these few lines we learned, but we'll start. First of the wide lines. Okay, and Kvar Hayu Rab Tarfon Skeinim Mesum Balias Beri Natsa Balud. Rab Tarfon and the elders were sitting in this attic of this person, Beis Nitz and Lud. Nishla Shaila Zu Bifneim, they were asked the following question. Talmud Gadol Maisa God. What's greater, learning or mitzvahs? What's greater? And then the Rab Tarfon said, Maisa God. Action is greater. Nana Rabbi Kiva answered, Talmud God, learning is better. Nanu Kulam Va'amru, so they all answered after everybody gave their opinion. And they said, Talmud Godel, learning is greater. Shemevili de Maisi, because it brings to action. Okay, this we learned last week. We discussed the greatest level in learning is a level of learning that brings to action. Okay, now the Gemara says, Tanya, this is where we left off last week. Rabbi Yesi says, Godel Talmud, learning is greater than mitzvahs. Where do we see learning is greater than mitzvahs? Shekodam lechal arboim shana. The first mitzvah, really, the Jews were given when they were going into Eretz. So one of the first mitzvahs was the mitzvah of separating challah. You know, from the dough, you have to separate the piece of dough and give it to the kohen. Nowadays we burn it, but in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, we give it to the kohen. So Gemara says like this, look, Matan Torah was the year they left Egypt. 40 years later, they were given the mitzvah of challah. So you see, learning is greater because it's 40 years before mitzvahs were given. And not only that, the trumas lemaisris, as far as the matan Torah, the receiving of the Torah, was before the mitzvah of separating the truma and maisa, the tithes, 54 years. So Rashi explains, how did it get 54 years? Because he had 40 years in the midbar. And then the mitzvah of separating Truma and Maaser didn't exist until the Jews conquered the land and settled the land. 14. It took them 14 years, 7 years to conquer, 7 years to divide. So 40 plus 14 is 54. So Matan Torah was 54 years before the mitzvahs of Truma and Maaser. The Shemitim, for the sabbatical years, 61. Shishim Acha, 61 years. Why? Because Shemitah began after the... No, it's just after 54 years, the seventh year was sabbatical year. So it's 54 plus 7 is 61. And then it says, L'yevlis, but for the Jubilee year, the 50 year, Me'evisholish, 103 years. And right away, the Gemara asks, no, it can't be, it has to be 104 years.
Which one is this?
The Yevil, the Jubilee year. That means like this. 40 years, just very simple math. 40 years until they entered Eretz Yisrael. Right. 14 years until they settled. Right? And 50 years later.
For the Jubilee year.
Right. So it's 54 plus 50.
104.
But the Gemara says it's 103. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. Me'ev Ishalish, how can you say it's 103? Me'ev Arba'am, it should be 104. Because, like we just said, 40 plus 14 plus 50 is 104, not 103.
Right.
So the Gemara answers, no, this opinion holds, Yevo mitchilasi hamishamet. Rabbi Yesi, who says 103 years, he holds, Yevo is effective at the beginning of the year, not the end of the year. In other words, like this, in certain laws, Shemitah, the sabbatical year, apply certain dinim of it, apply at the end of the year. Yevil, the Jubilee year, slaves go out free, you know, lands go back to its original owner. When does that happen?
End of the 49th year?
No, and Yom Kippur of the 50th year, but that's the beginning of the 50th year. So therefore, the din of Yevil really is 103 years. Because not a whole year, it's Yom Kippur, which is 10 days into the year, of the 153rd year. 103rd year, I mean. So he says, that's why he says the number 103, because he holds Yevil, it goes from the beginning. Then the Gemara says, just like starting Torah comes before the observance, like we said 40 years before, kardina ikedem lemaisa. The same thing, a person after 120 years, when they come up to heaven, and they start asking about your life, the first thing they judge you on is studying of Torah. In other words, just like Torah was given and the mitzvahs were given, the same thing when a person comes after 120 years, the first question they ask you, how was your learning?
It's not that the hell were you in the business?
Well, one second. Could Rav Amnuna, like Rav Amnuna holds, okay? The Amr Rav Amnuna said, "Ein tchilas dinei shel adam." The beginning of a person's judgment is ein al divrei Torah. It's only for Torah. So, by the way, Tosfos over here asks you a question. Tosfos says, but the Gemara says in Shabbos that when a person comes to judgment, the first question they ask him if you did business properly.
Right.
So Tosfos answers like this: that Gemara says that's the first question they ask you. Punishment-wise, the first punishment is for not learning. So now you're right. The first question, the Gemara says, you come upstairs, what's the first question they ask you? Nasasev and Nasata Bamuna, did you run business properly? Okay? But when it comes to punishment, the Gemara says over here, the beginning of the punishment of the person is not learning Torah.
Not learning Torah has punishment.
That's the first punishment you get.
That's another one I
Shenema, because it says, Peitem Mayim, releasing water, turns like into water, Reishis Mod on the beginning of judgment. So you see, the Pasuk says that the beginning of judgment for a person is for not learning Torah. And then the Gemara says like this, Ukshem Shadinai Kedem Lamaisa, just like the judgment is before mitzvahs, Kaschore Kedem Lamaisa. The reward you get in the world to come is also first for Torah. In other words, Torah is given before mitzvahs, therefore the punishment of Torah is before mitzvahs, and the reward of Torah is before mitzvahs. Now, first you get rewarded for Torah, and then you get rewarded for mitzvahs. Shenamer, because it says in the Pasuk, Vayitin lahem artes goyim, Hashem says, and this is in Tillim, that He gave them the land of the nations, Vamalu umim yiroshu, and they inherited the toil of all the nations, Bavur yishmeru chukov v'seiraitziv yinsaru, because He safeguarded His statutes, which is learning, and observed His teachings. So the Gemara says, Rami Rashi says, yishmeru refers to Torah. So because they learned Torah, that's the first reward you get. That's, for learning Torah is the first reward you get. Then the Gemara continues, says like this, Kol shein alei b'mikra v'alei b'mishnah, a person who is not, this is quoted in our Mishnah a few pages ago, whoever is not in learning, or Mishnah, in Chumash, nothing, no learning at all, he's eina. It says in the Mishnah, Einam in a Yishuv. He's not like from civilization. And Rabbi Yechanan says, Upasal Eidus. He cannot even testify. Why is he not kosher to testify? So the Rashi explains, because he lacks the whole concept of self-respect. He's not considered a civilized person. If he's not considered a civilized person, he has no self-respect and no dignity for humans, because he doesn't have for himself either, and therefore he's not kosher to testify. And the Gemara now says another famous, famous Gemara in connection to this. Tan Rabban Rabban learned, Ha'eichel b'shuk, if somebody eats in the street, Ha'reza deyme lekelev, he's like a dog. Dogs eat in the street. In other words, you have no human dignity if you eat in the street. Yeshemrim, some opinions say, postulates you also cannot testify in court. Okay? And the Gemara just continues, and I'll explain this in a second. Amar Abidi Bar Avin, halacha ki yeshemrim. The halacha is like the opinions that say, not only you're likened to a dog, you're not allowed to testify. Okay? So Rashi explains this like this. Why, if you eat in the street, are you not kosher to testify? What's wrong? He says, again, you have no human dignity. You're like an animal. An animal's eating the street. You have no human dignity. No human dignity. That means you don't understand the value of life. You don't understand. So therefore you cannot testify. So Taisus asks a question. It says in Yerushalmi that the Reb Shimon, the son of Rebbe, was eating in the street. And Rab Meir said to this rabbi, you know, it's not proper for a scholar to eat in the street. Which means, for scholars not, but for other people, there's nothing wrong with it. So why is our Gemara, the Taisa says, so why is our Gemara say that you're like a dog and you can't testify? The Gemara just says that you're not a scholar maybe, but that doesn't disqualify you from being a kosher witness. So Taisa learns, over there, here it's speaking, when you grab and eat. The fact that you grab it and eat it in the street, that's already lack of human dignity. So Taisus says, if that's Taisus thought he means that you steal in the street and eat. That you grab something from a store and you eat. So then the question, then he's a ganef. If he's a thief, then for sure he can't testify. So Taisus learns like this. Rabbeinu Tam learns, and this is the way halacha really rules. This that the Gemara says, ha'echo b'shuk doim lekelev, is only when you're eating a meal in the street, not a snack. This that when the rabbi was caught, the Reb Shimon Reb Rebbe, he was caught by Reb Meir and said it's not right for a scholar to eat in the street, that means even like taking a drink or, you know, just eating an apple or something like that. That's not good for a scholar. And that doesn't disqualify you for a witness. A person eats a meal in the street, walking in the street, not sitting by a bench, I mean walking in the street, so then the din would be he's like a dog and he's possible to aid this. So in other words, according to this Gemara, by the way, if you're walking with a hot dog and bun in the street, huh? Yeah. That's a meal. So then you're not kosher to testify, according to Rabbeinu Tam. Because Taisus says that if when you eat pas, when you eat bread in the street, it's already not like a nash, you know, it's a more set, established meal. So then, you would have a din that you're posulatus.
What does that got to do with the learning has priority?
No, because it just says, because the Gemara right after that,
right.
The Gemara finished that. Then the Gemara quoted the next part of the Mishnah that said, if you don't learn, not chumash, not Mishnah, nothing,
you're
not kosher to testify. Because you have no human dignity. So then the Gemara brought another case where you don't have human dignity and therefore you cannot testify. If you eat in the street, so that's also lack of human dignity. But Taisus explains basically that's only if you're eating a meal in the street, not... Now he says like this. Darsh bar Kapara says, Ragzon, a person that always gets angry, they also beyadi al ragzuna, comes away with life, not with nothing but his anger. In other words, if you're an angry person, you're never happy. You don't live a normal life here, and you don't live a normal life there. All you go with the Gan Eden with is your anger. But to a good man, they give him a taste of his fruits. Meaning like this, an angry person, he says, is not only punished in this world, he's punished in the world to come. You come with nothing. But the opposite is, if you're a good person, you have this world, and you have the world to come. In fact, it's a pasuk, but the Rebbe always used to emphasize this concept, that by Torah we say, the ways of Torah are sweet, and all the paths of Torah are peace. Okay, it's sweet and peace. So, but the pasuk basically is saying that when somebody lives a Torah life, a proper Torah life, their whole outlook of life is different. They live a much more constructive life. They live a better life physically, not only spiritually, physically they live a better life. So it's much better. Okay, then the Gemara says like this, V'chol she'ena, lei b'mikra, v'lei b'mishna, mem aleph, v'lei b'derech eretz. Okay, what happens if you know somebody that he's not studying Mishnah or Chumash, and he's not doesn't have ethical behavior. The Mishnah says, "Dur hanor mimenu." Dur means make a vow. Make a vow not to have anything to do with this guy. Why? Shenemar ubemeshiv leitim layoshav. The first pasuk can tell him, right? Do not sit in the company of scoffers. Why? Because meshavai meshav leitim. His company is a company of scoffers, so don't live with such a person. Okay, you just came just in time for the second for the new paddock.
So, are we going to party for this book?
No, we're not finished with the Masechta. No, paddock, but. Taf mem aleph amid aleph. Okay, in the first paddock, the Gemara started with the laws of Kedushin, right? The man comes over to a woman, gives her a ring, you know, all the cases of Kedushin that we learned in the first parak. Now, the Gemara is going to say that not only, and the next few pages is very interesting Gemara, all about the concept of a shliach. A shliach in English is translated as an agent, a proxy, a guy that can do the job for you. Okay? So, for instance, just to give an introduction to this Gemara a little bit. If I send you as my agent to do something, what you do is like I did it. It's like you did it, like I did it. You know, it's a proxy, an agent. Whatever he does is like you did it. Therefore, if I want to do Kedusha with a certain lady, for whatever reason it is, I can't go there, and I send a shliach, calling a guy, he says, you are my shliach, to go do Kedushin with that woman for me. Okay? So in fact, according to many opinions, that's what Eliezer did with Rivka. Eliezer, when he gave her the rings, you know, after he said they agreed to the Shidduch, and he gave her the rings, according to many opinions, Eliezer was the Shliach of Yitzchak to get Rivka married. Right? That's the whole question. With the shliach and avid, what din did he have? Anyway, but that is in halacha the classic example of a shliach. If I send you to buy something for me, and you buy it, I bought it. What happens if you change the mission? I tell you to do kedushin to Rachel, and he does it to Leah. He's not my shliach. Because he didn't do what I told him to do. If I tell you, if you do what I told you to do, then your action is considered as if I did it.
And if you shliach goes and marries her?
Yeah, Gemara's going to talk about that later. The shliach is sent to get, the guy sent the shliach to get this woman for me, and the shliach says, no, I want to marry you. So then the shliach gets it because he did it for himself, he didn't do it for me.
Good. There's nothing to do about that.
No, but the Gemara is going to discuss, I mean, later on in the Gemara, like, where do we learn out this concept that you could do something for me? I mean, I'm me, you are you. Why could you do something for me? I mean, even the Goyim, they get it from Torah, because in Torah there's the concept of a shliach, and the Gemara is going to go through a lot of pages figuring out how it works and how it doesn't work, and so on and so forth. Now, not always, by the way, does the shliach work. For instance, if I send you to kill somebody, if I send, I want to get hitman, okay? You're a hitman, let's say, chas v'shalom, but let's say you're a hitman, and I say, do me a favor, or, doesn't matter if I pay you or not, I say, go kill him. And you go kill him. Only Shammai, not even Bisham, Shammai holds Yesh Shliach Lidvar Aveira. Everybody else holds a see in the Gemara later. It's a very interesting Gemara. Ein Shliach Lidvar Aveira. There's no agent when it comes to sin. And the Gemara later is going to say one opinion says we learn that from a Pasuk. There's a Pasuk that teaches us this. Another opinion says it's even a logic. Because the sender, unless he, God forbid, you killed the guy, okay, I can say to you, listen, I told you kill him. God told you not to kill him. Who do you listen to, me or God? So don't blame me. You shouldn't have listened to me. Who should you listen to? God or me? Why did
he?
No, that we'll see in the Gemara. That's another story.
But to do.
But the question goes even more. By the way, what happens if for the sender it's an aveda, but not for the shliach? No, the Gemara is going to say later a very simple case. It's a few pages later. A kohen cannot marry a divorcee. Yeah? But if he gives her, if a kohen gives her a ring, okay, they need a get. Because it's only it's not punishable by death. Okay? If I come over to a married woman who's married, and I give her a ring and say that mukadeshously, it's worthless. Because that would be capital punishment. So if it's capital punishment, it's not even valid, the Kedushin. If a guy comes over to his sister, his single sister, and he gives her a ring in front of two witnesses, and he says to his sister, Hareyat Mukadashasli, you know, it's worthless. She's not a married woman, because what you did was worthless. Why? Because a brother and a sister would be capital punishment, so then there's no shlichas at all. Right? But if it's only a negative commandment where there's no capital punishment, the Kokoyan cannot marry a divorcee. Right? But that's only a negative commandment. There's no death involved. The punishment is not death. So the halacha is, as argument that we came in the Chumash, the halacha is that if a Kohen does Kedusha with a Grusha, she needs a get. She's a married woman. Somebody commits adultery with her, it's capital punishment. The Kohen's not allowed to marry her. That's a separate issue. They need to get a get. But the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. Okay? Now, what happens if a Kohen sends a non-Kohen to Mekadesh a divorcee? For the Shlich, it's not a sin. He's not a Kohen. But for the sender, it's a sin. Is the Shlich a Shlich or not? And as does she become married, Mekadesh or not? Because for the sender, he's not doing an Aveda. I mean, the Shliach.
Right.
The Shliach is not doing a sin. The sender is doing something wrong. So the question is it or is it? We'll see later in the Gemara.
Wait, did you say if a Kohen gives a divorcee woman a ring, what happens?
And he says that Mekadeshesli in the da, in front of two witnesses?
Yeah.
She's a married woman to him. She needs to get.
But he can't.
He can't live with her, but she's considered a married woman.
Okay, but does he give his
coin
up? Does he give the
coin
thing up?
No, he can't give a coin thing up. The kid wouldn't be a coin.
Okay, yeah.
But he has to divorce her, I'll be then.
Oh, okay.
So I just gave an example of a shliach.
Right.
Okay. Let's see the Gemara inside. The Mishnah says like this. Ha'ish mekadish, a man could do kedusha with a woman by himself. Or b'shluchay, he could do it. He could send a shliach to do it. Or isha miskadeshes, a woman could get kedushined, so to speak, by herself, meaning she could accept the ring herself, or b'shlucha with her shliach. Okay. Then the Mishnah continues. I'll explain this first, then, but we're not done with it. Or isha miskadeshes b'tei kshehinayda, a man can do kedushin with his girl when she's 12, himself, or with a shliach. In other words, like this. We'll explain this din, then we'll go back to the first din. The Torah says, and the Gemara is going to discuss if you should do it, shouldn't do it, but the bottom line is, the Torah gives a father a right to marry off her daughter under bas mitzvah.
That happened all the time.
Years ago, yeah. In fact, even though the Gemara is going to say you shouldn't, biblically, the Torah says, "Biti nasati lishazeh." I gave my daughter to this man. Even though the Gemara is going to say, Rav says you shouldn't do it, but Taisus says nowadays we do it in his time because he couldn't afford it. We'll see when we get down in the Gemara. But the Gemara says that even when she's 12, even though she's bas mitzvah, but until she's 12 and a half, she's still under the father's jurisdiction. In other words, by a boy, It's under bar mitzvah, over bar mitzvah. That's it. Right? There's no middle ground. You're either a minor or an adult. Right? Under bar mitzvah, over bar mitzvah. By a girl, there's three stages. There's a ktana, which is under 12. Okay? She's not obligated to mitzvahs. Like a kid under bar mitzvah, right? But, and the father can marry her off. A son, the father cannot marry off. A girl under 12, the father can marry her off. From 12 to 12 and a half, she's called a naira. A naira means the father, she's an adult, she's a gedola, but she's under the father's jurisdiction. She can marry herself off, the father can marry her off, but the father gets the money that she gets. 12 and a half and up, she's called a begeris, or begeris, whichever way you pronounce it. Then she's completely on her own, out of her father's jurisdiction. Okay? So the Mishnah is saying over here that even when she's a naira, and Rashi says definitely when she's a ktana, the father can marry you off either by himself. That means accept kedushin from a man that wants to marry his daughter. Or he can send a shliach to accept the kedushin from a man that wants to marry his daughter. So in other words, this man has a 10-year-old girl. Okay? And the guy wants to marry off his daughter. And the man comes and says to the father, hey, you know, your daughter's mukadeshesli with this. And the father gets the money, the girl is kedushin. She would need a get and everything. Huh? In today's world, it'd be called rape and statutory rape, and you'd be end up in jail. And
that's right. It happened a lot in Iran.
In Europe, it was very, very common. In the time of the Gemara, it was extremely common. Okay. So the Gemara asks, it says in the Mishnah like this, a man could do Kedushin himself or with a shliach. Right? So the Gemara asks, Bishluchim Mekadish, if the Mishnah says you could do it with a shliach, boy me boy, why does the Mishnah have to say you could do it yourself? What does the Mishnah say? You could do Kedushin either by yourself or with your shliach. If your shliach could do it, then for sure you could do it. Why does the Mishnah have to say you and the shliach could do it? If the shliach could do it, for sure you could do it. Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef is a very famous statement of the Gemara. Mitzvah bay yesem b'shluchi. Granted, you could do it through a shliach, but it's a greater mitzvah to do it by yourself than with a shliach. Where do we see this concept? Kihad Rav Safra machrech resha singed the head of the animal for the Shabbos meal. Rava malach shabita. Rava would salt the shabita. What is shabita? It's a large fish. Even though these people had many servants and many people that would do it for them, and these were great, great scholars, nevertheless, they wanted to do the mitzvah themselves. Okay? So that's what the Mishnah is saying. The man could do kedushin either by himself or with a shliach, but the Mishnah says, I want you to know, it's better to do it by, with yourself. Okay? And this is used, by the way, in many halachas. It's always better to do a mitzvah by yourself than to do it through somebody else. You want to give tzedakah. It's better to give it yourself than through a shliach to give the tzedakah. Okay? Now, ika da amri, and some people say, not only is it a mitzvah, but you could do it through a shliach. Some people say, the isura nami isba. It's really not allowed, even though the Mishnah says you could, but it's really not proper to get kedushin with a woman through a shliach. Why? Because Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, like Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, the Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, also la adam sheikadesh eso isha, a man is not allowed to do kedushin with a woman until he sees her. In other words, that's why one of the reasons why they go, you know, to cover the kala, they should see it and make sure this is the one that I'm doing. Because the Gemara says, you're not allowed to do kedushin without seeing the woman. Why? Shema yira badava muguna. You might see something despicable in her. And v'tizgana olav shall become repulsive. And the Torah says, v'ahavta re'echa kameicha. And you have to love your friend, definitely your wife. So it says, so therefore, if you do it yourself, at least you see the woman. Because you're giving her the ring. If you do it through a shliach, it's possible you're not even going to see her. Right? Because the shliach is doing it for you. Right? So therefore, the Gemara says, the Mishnah is telling me, you're supposed to do it by yourself. Because then at least you see her. Okay, if you did it with a shliach, it's valid, but you really shouldn't. You should do it by yourself first. This is Rav Yosef said, that the concept of doing it by a mitzvah by yourself, better than a shliach. What does that apply to? So it says, V'chi yitmed Rav Yosef ha-sefer itmer. It's Rav Yosef's din, that it's better to do it with a shliach. Here the Gemara is saying, it's usher to do it with a shliach. It's really, you shouldn't do it with a shliach. This is Rav Yosef says, it's better to do it with a shliach. That's on the end of the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Ha'ish ha-miskadesh is bo b'shlucha. The Gemara asks the question at the end of the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah says, a woman could get Kedushin, she can accept the Kedushin herself, or with a shliach, right? So it says, hashla b'shlucha mikacha, if it could be done with a shliach, bo meboy, of course the woman could do it herself. If she could send a shliach, then for sure she could do it herself. Amir Aviyasir Aviyasir says, mitzvah by yesim mi b'shlucha. It's better to do it by yourself than with a shliach. Why? Sigmar says like this. And he says, why? Like we find, Rav Safra, Machir Chresha, Rav Safra singed the head of the animal, Rav Amal Shibuta, Rav assaulted the fish. But in this case, Isur al-Lespa, and the coming of the Gemara is women, the women livers hate this Gemara. The next piece, the next line. But this is not Asur. It's not forbidden for a woman to accept Kedushin from a man that she didn't see. The man has to see the woman, but the woman doesn't have to see the man. Why? Because Reish Lakish, like Reish Lakish says, the Amir Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish had a popular saying that says, Tav lemesiv tandu, it's better to live two together, mi lemesiv armelu, than to live alone. In other words, women would marry any yukul, not to be alone. So she'll never hate the guy. See, because as ugly and bad as he is, she'd be willing to marry just to be married rather than single. Men, on the other hand, the Gemara says no. They want to make sure what they're marrying is good.
Who is it that gave his sister to Reish Lakish?
Rabbi Yechanan.
So he didn't see it.
He didn't do the Kedushin yet. He said, I'll give her to you. This is the, by the way, this is Reish Lakish.
Right.
Is
that the norm?
Huh?
Is that the case? That the woman...
That's what the Gemara says. I told you the women don't like this concept.
But according to this, then when there's a mitzvah of getting married, it's only on a man and not on a woman.
Huh? What?
If that's the nature of a woman, then the mitzvah should be on them to get married.
No. The mitzvah is to woman, for the man to get married.
Nature of a woman, I
believe, yeah, but the Torah is speaking about nature. The man has a mitzvah approval. The woman doesn't have a mitzvah approval.
The woman has to get married anyway. Is it because of the financial or there is emotional needs or something?
Emotional needs. There is a concept. Women, see, there's two aspects in marriage. There's a mitzvah approval, be fruitful, multiply. That is only on a man. A woman's not obligated in approval. Nevertheless, it says in Poskim, in Allah it says, the fact that a man can't do it without a woman, can't have kids without a woman, so the woman gets a reward of the mitzvah, but it's not her mitzvah, it's not her obligation. But there's another passage that says, Loi l'teil bero, elu l'shaves yitzorah. The God did not create the world to be empty. God created the world to be civilized. And many opinions say women are obligated in that aspect of populating the world and civilizing the world, but not obligated per se in the mitzvah approval. But I wanted to mention one thing in the Mishnah, but we'll mention it now because this applies here too. We said, when a guy, we're going to learn more about Shlich, the whole concept of Shlichus, because there's a lot in the Gemara about it. When I send you to do something, it's like you are my hand. Okay? That's the concept. You are my hand. So when you do Kedushin, okay, you are like my hand. So therefore, when does the woman become married, Mekudeshes? When the Shliach gives her the ring. Because it's like the husband is going. Instead of the husband, this guy is his extended hand, like an extension cord, right? When a woman sends a Shliach, the Shliach becomes her hand. Right? That means, as soon as the Shliach takes the ring from the man, the woman is already married. Right? Because again, the Shliach is the extension of the one that sent him. So when the husband sends, like for instance, you have the same thing we'll see later in the Gemara, sending a get. Right? A woman's not divorced until she gets the get. Right? If a man sends a Shliach to send the get, to give a get, until the woman gets the get, she's a married woman. Right? Because the man who represents the Shliach that's in the stead of the husband didn't give her the get yet. But if a woman sends a Shliach to accept her get, it's called Shliach LaKabbalah, the second the Shliach gets the get from the man, the woman's divorced. I mean, it's the same concept, but we have to keep in mind, this is her hand, and this is his hand. So when he's doing it, until the woman gets the ring, she's not married. Or until she gets the get, she's not divorced. But when she sends a Shliach, and the Shliach is to receive the get, not to bring me the get, to receive the get for me, the second the Shliach, the agent, gets it, she is divorced. The second the Shliach accepts the Kedushin, she's Mekudeshes. So the Gemara's outcome, basically, according to the way the halacha rules, that a man should not send a shliach until he sees her. But by the way, the din is, what happens if the man already saw her?
Seen her before.
Now he wants to send a shliach, and there's nothing wrong with it. Because he knows her. He knows what she looks like. But by a woman, it's only better to do it by yourself, but she could do it by a shliach.
And the shliach can hire another shliach to send over?
We're going
to
see in the Gemara.
It can still be valid?
Mm-hmm. Shliach is a shliach. We're going to see in the Gemara, a shliach can make another shliach.
Man could see a picture of a woman?
Huh?
You see a picture of
her, so. Yeah, I mean, again, this is not Kabbalah. This is just, you should see it to know what you're getting before.
Isn't that why you sell money when you put your feet?
One of the reasons is that, yeah.
It was
Rivka did it.
Yeah, Rivka, yeah.
Yeah, but over there wasn't a seer.
And the shlech has to be male, or it doesn't matter?
We'll see later in the Gemara, it has to be over Bar Bas Mitzvah. It has to be a Jew.
Does it matter, male or female?
No. The Gemara is going to learn out later from a Pasuk that it has to be a Jew.
Is that happening in anything related to this nowadays, similar to this? Like, I know, like, you can have an attorney that you say it will be.
No, that's not. Today we do it. If a man is in one city, okay, if a man's in one city, husband and wife are in, they don't want to have anything to do with each other. They're divorcing, they want to look at each other, right? Or the man's in jail.
Yeah.
Okay? Man's in jail, he can't get out, the wife wants to get. Or, they don't want to look at each other, one's in LA, one's in New York. Whatever the story is, it's very daily occurrences. Yeah? So normally, what do? The husband and wife come to Beis Din, right? They write a get. The husband takes the get in front of the Beis Din and gives it to his wife, and, you know, the procedure is done, and she's divorced. What happens if she refuses to look at the guy? So what do? They send it with a shliach. They send it with a shliach. Sometimes what they do is, they even make a shliach to make another shliach, to make another shliach, to make another shliach. Because, let's say you're going to send the get registered mail. Right? Because you need can't email a get, you can't fax a get, you need the original.
Right.
Okay? So there's a whole question how they do with the mail, but they send, let's say, in the mail. Right? So they have a shliach bringing the get to the post office. Then there's a shliach picking it up from the post office, or it gets delivered to Beis Din. Correct? Then they need a shliach to continue to bring the get to the woman. See, sometimes you can have a few shluchim involved. A guy's in jail. He can't give the get to his wife. He can't get out. So many gittin have been written in jail, by the way. You know that? Many gittin have been written in jail. Even nowadays. It's written in jail, and then the guy makes a shliach, the best in a shliach, whatever, and they bring the get. So you have this case as a practical case. Kedushin today, they don't do it a shliach.
And the shliach can be hired over the phone?
Doesn't have to be hired. Can do it for free. Yep. So there are ways that, you know, that exists.
They don't have to, like, exchange something that now is...
No, they don't have to make a kinyan. No.
Is that
words enough? Words are enough to make a shliach. Doesn't need a kinyan, doesn't need anything. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Ish mekadosh es bitek shinaido. Okay, a man, the Mishnah says, can do Kedushin for his girl as long as she's 12. So Rashi said in the Mishnah, definitely when she's young. Okay, that was the outcome of the Gemara. But the Gemara says, Kshinaida in Kshiktana lay. The Mishnah should have said when she's a Ktana and a Naida. The Mishnah only says you can do it when she's a Naida, when she's 12. So this is Messiah Leila Rav. This is a proof to Rav. The Amr Rav says, Amr Rav Yud Amr Rav, the same as some people say, Rabbi Lazar, also la adam she kaddish is bitek shiktana. It's forbidden nowadays. This is what the Gemara says. For a man to give two kedushin for his daughter when she's young, acha to gadol until she should grow up, and she should say, lepleini ani reita, this is the guy I want to marry. And again, it's for the same reason. Okay? Not that it's forbidden, because the Torah gives you the power. It says it's bitin asati l'shazeh. What the Gemara is saying is, it's not proper for a man to marry off his daughter until she gets older and she sees the guy, again, that she should know what she's doing it. Okay? Now, Taisus has another issue. Like we said, Taisus says, Achshav anuneg in the kaddish ben esin afilu ktanis. Taisus in the middle of the Taisus decides adam, osil adam. Taisus says nowadays we do kedushin even for little kids. Why? Mishum shebechol yem veyem agolus miskaber aleinu. The golus gets much more difficult. Veimir sipek biyad adam achshav losis libit in the danya. He says nowadays Taisus says like this. Now you might have the dowry that you need. Maybe in the later you won't have it. And then you shall never get married. In the olden times, you didn't give dowry, no shidduch. Okay? Nadin. You had to give nadin, dowry. So Taisus says, the tzaddis, the problems with the Jews, it got so bad. Now you might have a little bit of money. Then you can give the dowry and the girl will get married. You're going to wait until she becomes older. You might not have the money. She might not be able to get married. So Tay said, because of that, nowadays the custom is we do it earlier.
The whole concept of the dowry is
Gemara, or is it custom?
It was a pretty strong custom. Harbol Meir Matan, it was by Shechem. When Shechem captured Dina. So he said, we'll give you a lot of harba alai moyer umatan. Matan is like the nadin, the gifts. Okay, so therefore the Gemara says that a man could do it only when she's a nida, but not when she's a ketana, right? But again, the Mefarshim explained clearly that it doesn't mean he can't. It's not proper to do it. It's better not to do it. Okay? Then the Gemara asks, in the next piece of Gemara like this, Shlichus Minolan. How do we know there's a concept of Shlichus? How do we know I can send an agent to do something for me? By the way, there's a very interesting question. If you ever think about it, you know, sometimes things just go, we don't think. And then we say, oh, the Tesis Rid asks a very famous question over here in the Gemara, in this parak. He says, why can't I make a shliach to put on tefillin for me? If there's a din of shliach, shliach shall adam kamaisei, a shliach is like, I did it, right? So why can't I tell you, you know what, do me a favor, put on tefillin for me. Eat matzah for me. Do lula for me. Learn Torah for me.
But these are all mitzvahs.
So? But you'll do it for me. I'll say, you put on tefillin twice? Once for me, once for you. No, I'm saying, why can't I make you a shliach? You fulfill your obligation. No, you fulfill your obligation. And then you'll do it for me as a shliach. And then I won't have to do it. Interesting question. So the answer is like this.
But these are our mitzvahs.
So what? I'm saying, why can't I make a shliach? Everything else you can make a shliach. Right? Why can't you make a shliach to do a mitzvah?
So in the old times, for instance, we could do it with the Beit HaMikdash. You go and do give a let's say.
If I had to bring a carbon, you could have done this for me.
It was happening that way.
Well, not necessarily. You'll hear the answer. You'll see why not. So the Tesis Rida answers is one of the Rishonim. He says like this: on a mitzvah that your body must do. You can't make a shliach. Why? Because if I tell you, put on tefillin for me. Okay? It's like I put on tefillin. You doing it like I did it.
Right.
And whose body?
Somebody else's body.
It's going to have to be on my body, not in your body. No. Shliach means your action is like I did the action.
Action.
Okay. Right. But the body needs to wear tefillin. That's your action is my action, but it you know what it's like? If I make you a shliach to put on tefillin for me, I put on tefillin on your body. I ate matzah with your mouth. It doesn't work. It can't work like that. A mitzvah that I need an action to do, right? I need action to do.
Nice.
So an action you could do for me. I need to do kedushin to a woman. I need to get an action done. She needs to be given a ring, right? It's not my body has to give the ring. I have to give her a ring. So you do it just like I gave her the ring.
Okay, but what's the benefit to the body then? I mean, there is some benefit.
Let me ask you a question. If I put on tefillin with you, you meet a guy in the street. Are you Jewish? Yeah. Come, put on tefillin. Yeah? I put on tefillin on the guy.
Right.
Did I get a mitzvah of tefillin? Or do I have to put it on myself anyway?
No.
What?
If you put it on his...
No, I put on film with him before I come to shul. On the way to shul, I bump into a Jew and say, oh, did you put tefillin on? No. Okay, come, put on tefillin. I put tefillin on with him, yeah? Do I still have to go put on tefillin?
Of course.
Yeah.
Why? I did tefillin already.
But you have to put it on your own.
Because my body needs to have tefillin. The mitzvah of tefillin, k'shartam la'isa yadacha, they have to be a sign on your hand, not his hand. So the action is mine, but not the body is mine. If I tell you, eat matzah for me, okay, I ate matzah, but with your mouth. And my stomach needs to eat matzah, not your stomach.
Is the tefillah considered to be your body?
Yeah.
So how come somebody else could make a bit of namaz for you?
No, no. Over there is different. Because shemei ka'ina.
Right.
That's not gedr shliach. Not in the din. It's not a din of a shliach. If when the chazan repeats the amida, which originally was for people that didn't know how to daven, right? That's why the chazan repeats it. So when the person listened, even though it's called shliach tzibur, but it's not a din of shliach. It's a din of shemeya ka'ina. Because if I don't hear it, the guy that doesn't know how to daven, not nowadays, in the olden times, people, because they didn't have siddur and whatever, a guy didn't know how to daven, he listened to the chazan, that's why the chazan repeated the amida, right? But if he didn't listen, the chazan didn't do it for him. It wasn't a din of shlichus. It was a din when he said it, and I listened. So it's like you make kiddush. I listen. It's like I made the kiddush because listening is like saying and answering amen, you know all that. But it's not a din of shliach. It's a different din. Listening is like saying.
But you have to have the intention of being with him, and he has the intention.
Right. Correct. But it's not a law of agents, it's a law of listening, is like you said it.
It's different.
Like when you know, many houses, only one person makes Kiddush and everybody listens, right? Even if there's other men there, yeah? Right. I mean, it's fardim to do that. Okay. So, he's not the shliach, he's not, let's see, just 5 men at the table. The head of the house making Kiddush, or Havdalah, or whatever, he's not their agent. He's doing it. By them listening, it's like they themselves heard it.
So what is it to
them? Huh?
So what is it to them?
Nothing.
It's a mitzvah being done by listening.
It's a mitzvah being done by listening, it's like by saying it. You listen to the Megillah. Yeah? Purim's coming up, whatever, 5 weeks. Yeah? What happens? The guy's not your shliach. Because if you would be a shliach, you wouldn't be yetz in a mitzvah. Because your body needs to hear it, not his body.
By kiddush, he has to have you in mind.
No? Yeah!
But what's saying that he's listening?
Can you make kiddush for me if I'm not in the room?
No.
Why aren't you my shliach? I make a shliach. You know what? Do me a favor. I'm leaving shul. You go make kiddush for me. Can you do that? No, it doesn't work. Right? Why? Because my body needs to hear kiddush or say kiddush. Say kiddush and hearing is like saying. So when I hear the kiddush, like I said the kiddush. But it's not a din of shliach, because the din of shliach, then why do you have to be here? Go somewhere else. So certain things, it's not a din in shliach, it's a din in listening.
And the body is different.
The body is different. If you put tefillin on for me, a shliach, I put on tefillin, but on your body. Because your body is your body. I can't eat for you. You got, you know. But this is a lot of dinim, this... issue of shlichus comes up.
So, if somebody sits in a shul and listens to the chazan the whole time, he's got to say it's a vil.
In Shkhroch it says only if you don't know the daven. No, because years ago, don't forget, they didn't have printing presses, didn't have sidurim, right? Okay, so the Am Shebesodis, meaning that the people that didn't learn, people that were working in the fields, they barely learned how to read.
Nice.
Okay, now they come to shul, they don't know the Amida by heart. Don't forget, there was no sidurim. So over there, the chazan, who was like the scholar that knew it by heart, so he would say it, and they would listen. And it was considered as if they said it. But if they know how to read it, then not always does it work. Then you have to read it yourself. You have to do it yourself. Okay, now we'll just start the next piece of Gemara, just a few lines. So Gemara says, Shlichus Minolan. How do we know you can make a Shliach? Maybe not. How do we know there's a concept existing that I can send somebody to do something for me? So Gemara said, the Tanya, it says in the Pasuk, Veshilach, the Pasuk says like this, Veshilcha Mibesa. The Torah says in Parshas Kisesi, like an interesting Pasuk, if a man will take a woman, and it says, Veshilcha Mibesa, and he sends her out of the house. Okay? The Torah doesn't use the word, he divorced her. The Torah says, Veshilcha Mibesa, Shliach, from the house. Why does the Torah use the word Veshilcha instead of divorce? It teaches us that you can make a Shliach. Because the Torah says, and that's by a get, you can make it through a Shliach. Now, it says Veshilcha. There's another time it says Veshilcha, because it says twice the word Veshilach, Veshilcha. Teaches us, Melamed Shehi Eisa Shliach. This is twice. One time that he can make a Shliach for the get, and she can make a Shliach for the get. Then it says, Veshalach Veshilcha, it says three times. Melamed shashliach eis a shliach. That one shliach can even make another shliach. So the Torah uses with the various extra letters, whatever it is. The extra letters teaches the person though that he can make a shliach, she can make a shliach, and the shliach can make a shliach. Because the Torah should have said a different word. The Torah should have said you divorced her. Why does he say you send her out of the house with the word shliach? Teaches us you can make a shliach. Three times, he can make, she can make, and he can make. So the Gemara, we're stopping here, but the Gemara is going to ask, how do you know, though, that by other mitzvahs you could? Maybe only get you could, because get is different, maybe. We'll see, to be continued.